Thus it is written, the first man Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust, and is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, guys. The band, that was incredible. My name is Sammy Ramos. I am a church planting resident here at Neartown Church. I get to walk alongside your staff and you guys and learn a lot about what it is to plant a church, because I'm in the process of doing that myself in Southwest Houston, and I'm really excited to preach, especially during this series. We're wrapping up this series called The Imago Dei, as it is up on the screen, and we've talked about the image of God as it relates to man. And today we get to talk about one of my favorite subjects, is the renewal of this image. Can this image of God, which we received from God, from the very beginning of creation, can that be renewed in us? And so that's what we're going to attempt to do today. Let's pray as we get started. God, we thank you so much. Just as Chris sang over us, God, that you fight for us. Yeah, that you want to hold us tight. You want a relationship with us so badly that you had sent your son to die for us. You've chased us. You've pursued us. And God, help us this morning, even now, even as I speak, give me the words to say that will lead us as your people to respond to that love. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, we are talking about renewal, this idea, this image of the Imago Dei. We started it in Genesis. In Genesis 1 through 3, we talked about from the very beginning, God said, before he made man, he said, let us make man in our own image. And man was created in the image of God. And we still carry this image. Despite the fall, despite sin, despite whatever we do, the poor actions, the poor choices that we make in this life, that we still bear this image of God. And one of the primary responsibilities of bearing this image, God told Adam at the very beginning, you are to fill the earth and subdue it. You are supposed to exercise dominion over all creation. That mankind was supposed to rule over creation as God's proxy, as God's ambassador, that Adam was supposed to rule in such a way that when creation looked at man, when creation saw that what he did, whether that be animal or beast or nature, should be able to look at mankind and say, that must be what God is like. Think about that for a second. That's the role of mankind from Adam, and that's the role, that's the charge that we still carry today, is that when other human beings, when other people see mankind, they should think that is a shadow, that is a reflection of what God is like. So if you look on social media, if you look at especially the last 6 or 7 months, the way we interact with each other, the way we love to love on each other, it's not very evident in social media and the other places we look. And so how do we renew this? How do we get back to this ideal of being renewed, of being refurbished? And so how I want to get to this today is I'm going to talk a little bit about us. You know, here's us, here's mankind, here's the condition, the state that we're in. I'm going to talk a little bit about Jesus. You're going to wonder, how do you get from point one to point two? That's okay. At this point, they're going to be unrelated. And then at the end, the last point I'm going to make today is, how are these related? How does Jesus have to do with our current state, and how is the image of God renewed in us? As humans, we love the idea of renewal. We see it on TV. We watch HGTV, and they're always talking about reclaimed barnwood. They're talking about, there's a restoration hardware in Highland Village down here. That place is expensive. You could find half that junk in somebody's garage for a lot cheaper. But they've renewed it. They've refurbished it. And we love this idea of renewal and reusing things and making the old new again. And that's actually what Jesus is all about. but not furniture, not barnwood, not hardware. He wants to renew us. I have a friend, he's actually sitting over here, Evan. He is restoring a car. That sounds exciting, right? A car. You know, he's going to fix it up, get it running and working again, and refinish it, and it's going to be great, except the car that he's restoring is a 2000 Chevy Tracker. And that's like the catalog model, believe it or not. Nobody gets excited about a Chevy Tracker being renewed. Nobody gets it. He's doing it because he wants to get into cars. He's right now, he's not a mechanic. But he got a junker to restore and bring to new life because it's exciting. It's something he wants to learn how to do. And so if he doesn't get his Tracker looking like this again, it doesn't matter. But if he does, how much greater the story, and how much better for him to say, this is what I did. And you know what it's going to cost him? It's going to cost him some time, some energy, some resource. It's going to be a process for him to get, I guess, the Tracker looking like that again, which isn't as exciting. But for us, for mankind, being renewed is very exciting. We learned in Genesis that we are created in the image of God. And we still bear that image. I want us to look at Psalm 145. I talked about how when people see us, they should see a reflection, an image, a shadow of God in our character and our behavior. And Psalm 145, 8 and 9, this is still the Old Testament, tells us about what God's character is like. It says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful." I'm not going to meddle here. I'm not going to dig in with these words, but I want you to think about your own life. If there were, if someone was talking about you and you're supposed to reflect this, how would you score yourself? The Lord is gracious and merciful. When was that said about you? He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Slow to anger kind of hurts. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is all over all he is made. As Andrew defined image, that first sermon during this series, he said we're supposed to be mirrors, reflections, shadows of God. I don't have to point to Facebook or what people have posted or how people treat each other when they're sitting behind a keyboard. We can just look at these verses and look at our own lives, and it's easy to see that we're not good at reflecting these verses. We're not good at reflecting back these character traits. We're just not. It's because while we still bear the image of God, while we still bear this responsibility to be his representatives on this earth, that has been tarnished. It's been broken by sin and just a natural bent to selfishness and self-preservation. So much so that when Paul writes about it in that Corinthians passage that we read, Paul is no longer referring to what we have in us as the image of God. He's referring it to the image of the man of dust, the image of Adam. That while the image of God is still there, it's coupled with things it should never have been coupled with sin and rebellion. So much so that Paul now says, you've borne the image of the man of dust. And that's the state we're in. That's how we come into this world. That's how we live our lives, as we bear the image of the man of dust. That's man. That's where we're at now. I'd like to talk about Jesus. I want you to know that from the very beginning, God had a plan. We started this series in Genesis, and we're going to turn there. Genesis 3:15, this is right after man had rebelled against God, right after man sinned, right after the fall. God is talking to Adam and Eve and the serpent, and he's doling out their punishment. He's telling them what's going to come of this. Okay, you've sinned, you've rebelled against me. This is what's going to happen to you now. And God is talking to the serpent, and God gives hope to mankind in the punishment that the serpent receives. In Genesis 3:15, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the very first messianic prophecy found in Scripture. This is three chapters into Genesis, three chapters from the beginning of the book that God is telling us about the good news of Jesus. And I'm going to explain this real quick. I think Andrew touched on it, but I'm going to give you a little more information than Andrew. I don't have a ton of time to delve into it. But in Genesis 3:15, here we have, before the first man, before Adam and he has even died, before he's suffered the full consequences of his sin, before that, God tells of a plan to defeat sin and evil. The plan consists of a Savior born of a virgin who will be hurt in battle but will ultimately defeat evil. And that's all from this verse, Genesis 3:15. You're saying, how did you get all that? Where did all that come from? Like I said, I'm going to go through this real quick. This really is like an in-depth Bible study. If you really want to get into it, it's called the Proto-Evangelion, the very first telling of the gospel. And so how do we get that? The first thing we need to point out is that God is telling the serpent, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and the seed of man. No. Is the seed of the woman. I don't know if you're paying attention in health class in junior high, middle school, or high school, whenever they teach this to you, but it is not the man that has the seed. It is not the woman that has the seed. The woman contributes an egg and so much more time and energy and all that stuff. The guy's only contribution to the reproductive process is the seed. And God is taking that away from the man. And giving that to the woman and saying the offspring of the woman. And so God is saying that there's going to be a Savior and he's going to be the seed of the woman, not the seed of the woman and the man put together, but the seed of the woman. The Savior will be born of a virgin. Like I said, if you want to look that up and get into detail, go for it. It's an awesome study. The second part of that verse reads, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Remember, this is the serpent he's talking to. So if me and Russell, you guys know Russell, he's up here a lot doing what I'm doing. If me and Russell were to get into a fight, I would win. But the way you would tell that I'd won is if you looked at us afterwards, what if I had a bruised fist and he had a bruised face? I didn't get out of that unscathed. I got a bruised fist. You know, maybe a cut on my hand. But the person with the bruised head, the bruised face, obviously lost the encounter. And so we get to the second half of this verse of he shall bruise your head, talking to the serpent, bruised-headed serpent, and you shall bruise his heel. It's talking about Jesus. That on the cross, it looked like he was defeated. He was bruised. He was beaten. He was hurt. He died. He was not ultimately defeated. So he didn't get out of the battle unscathed, but he crushed the head of the enemy, crushed the head of the serpent, defeated evil on the cross in such a way he didn't leave unscathed, but he won the battle. And Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy in Genesis 3:15, and he's the fulfillment of hundreds of others. According to Scripture, Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus himself says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In him we live and move and have our being. All things were created through him and are from him, and they all point to him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's what the Bible tells us about Jesus. And if we look at Colossians 1:15, relevant to our study, it tells us that he is the image of the invisible God. You see, we were created in the image of God. We're created in that image. Jesus is the image. We were created in that mold. Jesus was the mold. You guys ever eat Jell-O? When I was a kid, they had this big thing like to have Jell-O molds. It's been a while since I've seen a good Jell-O mold, but it's basically like a bundt cake, where you like kind of bake it, and then you gotta like do this acrobatic act where you kind of flip it upside down. I think it's easier with cake because I've tried with Jell-O once, and it never turns out good. It's very difficult to do. In fact, I had a friend. I think it was maybe a friend's dad or maybe my uncle. I have 35 first cousins, so it's hard to keep up. But we were at his house, and he had some kind of football character Jell-O mold. He's like, we're gonna play football with this Jell-O. And so, you know, we made the Jell-O and put it in the mold, and you have to put a cutting board over it, and then you got to be fast, but not too fast. Just can't be too slow because it's a Jell-O, and if it breaks, there's no putting it back together. And so we flipped it over. Somehow slid it off onto the counter, and then if you got the counter a little bit wet, if you like started slapping the football player, still he would start like wiggling across the counter. It was like he was actually running the football somewhere. So maybe we'll have Jell-O mold out in the, that'd be awesome. We're like the Jell-O. We're just supposed to fit to and conform to this image. Jesus is the mold. He's the one we're supposed to look like. He's the one we're supposed to. In creation, we get this story in Genesis 1 through 3. It's as if God gave us everything, put everything under our feet, our responsibility, and he handed creation off to us and said, here, you take charge of this. And it's as if he handed us a mold of Jell-O and we just flipped it upside down indiscriminately. Splattering the Jell-O all over the garden, all over the kitchen floor. So how do we put these two ideas together of we're a mess, we're now the image of dust, and here's Jesus, who is the image of God? The first step to renewal in anybody's life is to admit that we've made a mess. Beyond admitting that we've made a mess, we have to admit ourselves that we are a mess. Our lives are scattered and splattered, and we look nothing like Jesus. See, it goes beyond like the big sins of murder and hurting people and just general destruction, but it goes to this place where we were meant to represent God. And we're not good at it at all. And the first step to renewal is simply admitting that we are a mess. I don't know you. I don't know you personally, but I know enough about God, and I know enough about myself, and I know his word enough to know that if you're in this room, you probably have felt like your life is a mess. And you're in good company. It's a good place to be, because that's the first thing you have to realize, to experience renewal, to experience being put back together, to experience being the fullness of Christ. The second step, while we're tying these two points together, our current state and who Jesus is, to accept who Jesus is. See, Jesus didn't come to be an example. He didn't come to show us up. He didn't come to live a sinless life and look back at us over our shoulder and say, shame on you. I remember this is like when I was a kid. Shame. We don't do that anymore. It's probably like bullying. Jesus isn't looking over at us, telling us, shame on you for not being able to do this. But he came to live this life because we couldn't do it. He came to offer renewal. He didn't come to just be an example of what we should be, but he came to take our place. Matt Chandler says that Jesus lived a life we could not live, a sinless life. And he died a death that we could not, that we should have died. He died a death that we should have died. It was a sinner's death. And he rose to give us a life we could not have otherwise. A resurrected life. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus came to restore us to the Imago Dei. Our relationship with God is restored only in Christ. So that's the second step. Accept what Jesus has done for you on your behalf. This third step, it's the rest of your life. After you've admitted my life is a mess, I accept who Jesus is. The rest of your life is being put together. It's called sanctification. It's the process by which God transforms you back into the image of his son, Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I moved about 3 years ago. I worked for the longest time near Greenway Plaza. And before that, I lived out in Richmond, Sugar Land area. It was a long drive. I did that for about 3 years. Did that commute. And then I moved over to the Meyerland area. And so I had a new home. I had a new place that I was living out of. But for the first couple weeks, it was a little confusing. See, I would approach 59 and 610, that interchange, and for 3.5 years, I would go straight. I would keep going down 59 all the way out past Sugar Land into Richmond, and that's where I would find my home. Then I moved. And then for about 2 weeks, I probably did this about four times, within a two-week period, I'm driving home. I'm approaching the 59-610 interchange. I need to go 610 south to Meyerland. That's where I live. That's my new home. That's my place where I reside and where all my stuff is. But I would just go into cruise control. My mind would wander. I would find myself down by the Beltway in 59, and I would think, I don't live here anymore. What am I doing? Where am I going? It's the same way when you become a believer. When you've trusted your life to Jesus, yes, there is some effort that you must put forth in this renewal process. You have to remind yourself, I don't live there anymore. I live over here. And as I approach 59 and 610, I would say, exit here, exit here. I'd have to remind myself, exit here, exit here. In the 2 Corinthians passage, the old has passed away, the new has come. We have to remind ourselves, I don't live there anymore. That place of anger, that place of deceit, that place of jealousy, that whatever it is that you struggle with in this life, I don't live out of that person anymore. The old has passed away. See, but if we don't consciously remind ourselves, I don't live there anymore. It's real easy just to revert back to your old habits, to just not think about where you're going and find yourself just in the midst of sin and wondering, how did I get here again? Because you lost track of whose you are and who you are. You lost track of what God has done in your life. And so, yes, this sanctification process is what we call it, this being returned to the image of Jesus. Yes, it takes some work. But at the same time, God is doing it to you. Colossians 3, verses 8 through 10 tells us, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed. Which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So yes, there's some effort we put in, but this is a very passive verb, that we are being renewed. That last line, God is renewing us into his image. And there's so many other passages like that, but in all of them that talk about sanctification, all of them that talk about being renewed, looking like Jesus in this life, God is doing it to us. We just have to be faithful to be obedient with these big things. And God will reshape us and reform us into the image of his son. Guys, there are things that have already happened in your life, that your responsibility as a Christian is simply to walk in them. The Bible tells us that as a Christian, as one who's accepted Jesus, you've been forgiven. Walk like you're forgiven. Don't carry the burden of guilt around in your life. The Bible tells us that we're loved. Walk like you're loved. walk in the confidence that, this is what God's word says about you, and it's true. You're free. Walk like someone who's free. You're a friend of God. The God that said, let there be, and anything he says after that happens. You're friends with that guy. Walk, live this life as if you are. You're not lacking in any spiritual gift. You have everything you need right now to live a life of godliness. Stop walking around saying, well, if only. You have everything that you need. You're a child of God. Live like it. Walk in these truths. We've gotten so used to living and walking in the image of dust. It's natural to us. It just comes easy to us. That we just revert to that way. We don't think about it. We don't actively think, hey, I'm going to be angry at somebody today. Somebody's going to be on the brunt end of my wrath. We don't say those things. But it's so easy to drift toward them. But if we wake up and read God's word and remind ourselves, I'm a new creation. I'm loved. I'm made in the image of God. We let God's word transform our thinking. Then we can navigate those situations in life that used to bring about sin. We can navigate those a lot easier. So that's how God reshapes and reforms and renews the image of God in us. That we've gone from this image of man that is broken, that we've actively played a part in messing up and screwing up our lives. And then we have over here Jesus, who we know a lot of information about him. But when you allow the two to meet, when you allow your mess of a life to be transformed by the love of Christ, then that imago Dei, that image of God, begins to be renewed. And we're going to close out in Revelation. We started in Genesis. We're going to jump to the end. And in Revelation 21, John is given an image of heaven. He's given an image of the end of all things, of what this is all going towards, what this is all moving to. It's helpful that if you're on a journey, you kind of have a picture of what the end looks like. And God gives John a picture of what the end looks like. This is Revelation 21. This is the epilogue. This is even beyond the end. You literature people know what that is. John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So John gets this picture of what this is all heading to. This is where it's all going. This is what it's going to be like at the end. And he's told that this is trustworthy and true. And here's the good news for me and you. We look at that picture and we read these things and we think, that sounds awesome. That sounds incredible. That's a beautiful picture of what is to come. The good news for me and you is that process of renewal, of God saying, I am making all things new. He's already started that. He's already started that process of making all things new, and he decided to start with us. With us as human beings, that we get a little taste of what that's going to look like, what that's going to be like. We see that picture of heaven. We think that's awesome, but it's not just for then. It's we get a taste of it here. We can get a feel for what that's like to be renewed in the image of God here and now. That's how we're renewed. That's how God makes something out of that big mess that we've made of our lives. I invite you guys that if you've never experienced that, if you've never experienced trusting Jesus to transform you, if you've never accepted the claims that Jesus made about himself, I encourage you to speak to me or Andrew or Russell. We'll be hanging around. Not Russell, but me and Andrew will be around today. But feel free to email us or call us up at the church. We'd love to talk to you about what that looks like. If you're on this journey and you just need help, you just need to talk to a pastor. Andrew and Russell and I, again, we're available to help pastor you, to shepherd you through any hard or difficult time you're having in this life. And I would encourage you to take those steps to renew what it is God has started in you. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, who was able to live this life in the way that we couldn't, who offered himself up freely as a sacrifice so that we could be adopted into your family, so that you could take this mess, this image of dust that we carried with us, and dust it off, clean it up, and transform us into something new. God, we thank you. And we pray that we would be faithful in receiving what it is you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.